Morning, maybe good afternoon or good evening. My name is Vivian Acqua, the Workplace Wellness Advocate, and I am so happy and so excited to be hosting this first Let's Humanize the Workplace Real Talk session. So today I have an amazing guest, but I'm not going to introduce her just yet. I'm just going to share a few things about today's topic. And for those of you who are watching on LinkedIn, please bear with me because I have to use my phone to watch to see all your comments, right? And if you are on Twitter, please let me know if you're watching. Please let me know if you're watching so that I can see you as well. I can pull in the comments. So if you are on Twitter, I can pull in the comments. But today's live show will be about Let's Humanize the Workplace, and it will be about the topic mental health. Let's talk about mental health. This is so important that we're talking about health. So for those of you who are facing challenges regarding mental health and you're in need of a professional help, please contact somebody for professional help, because it's important that you have that support around you. So if you're doubting, the lady I'm about to interview is going to share a few things in the comments later on, but please reach out if you feel like you need the help, because it's important that you get the help that you need, right? So I'm going to share my screen now. If everything's... So welcome to the Let's Humanize the Workplace. So my name again is Vivian Acqua. I hope that you're hearing me. I hope that you're hearing me. And Let's Humanize the Workplace, it's about raising the human factor at the workplace. We want that human factor back. So if you're following me on LinkedIn, you can comment on LinkedIn, but I have to watch on my phone from time to time to see the comments. So the first thing that I want to do with you is, can you maybe share where you're from? So share where you're watching this from. Are you watching this on your phone? Are you in Amsterdam? Are you somewhere in the Netherlands, somewhere in Europe? Are you somewhere in Australia? I'm looking forward to get to know you. And for those of you who are watching this live show, so if you're Team Live, just use the hashtag Team Live. And if you're watching the replay, please let me know by using Team Replay, hashtag Team Replay. And also, please engage by showing us some love. And by showing us some love, I have something that I need to address, need to share with you. So sharing is caring. And if you feel like you need to share this video or you need to share this broadcast, please do. And if you don't, please don't. But please remind others that this is happening. I'm doing a two-week live show about humanizing the workplace. And from next year, I'm going to do a weekly show about this topic. So please let me know. Show us some love by using the buttons below. So you can give us a like, you can give us a heart, or you can give that pondering guy or girl who's pondering, right, as long as you engage. And maybe you have something to share about that. So let us know. My guest of today, I'm going to pull her up. My guest of today is Caroline, and she's the head of Free Choices. She works together with a team of physiological health and well-being professionals, and Caroline is passionate about promoting mental health awareness. So development of good practice, provision of quality services, and the creation of mental healthy and diverse cultures where people and business can thrive. Welcome, Caroline. Woo! Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. Sorry, I unmute you. Welcome, Caroline. Sorry, I had to unmute you.
That's fine. Vivian, I'm really excited to be here and to be talking to you about mental health, because it's actually now, you're more able to talk about mental health, and it's so important. So I'm really looking forward to sharing more about how people can for their mental health and what we can do about that in the workplace to make it a healthier place to be.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to show a short video regarding mental health. So if you have any questions after that, just let us know. And also if you need to have a professional, please contact a professional if you need any help regarding your mental well-being.
If the black dog of depression makes you feel like the saddest soul on earth, you're not alone. Around 350 million people share this debilitating but treatable condition. If you're worried about someone, ask if they're okay. If you're not doing so well yourself, ask for help. There is no shame in doing so. The only shame is missing out on life. So get help, be helped, and always hold on to hope. If the black dog of depression makes you feel like the saddest soul on...
This is so important, and also I wanted to address something about Ed Sheeran and Prince Harry that they did recently. So it was, I think, the 10th of October, right? Somewhere in October or October was Mental Health Day, Mental Wellness Health Day, or Mental Health Day, and they teamed up. They teamed up by sharing their own experiences regarding their mental health and want you to share your own experience regarding mental health, right? Because we all need help. If you have challenges regarding your mental health, you need to know that there are people out there that really can help you and that you're not facing the battles alone, right? Caroline, do you have something more to add on that?
I think it's really important. I think it's great that the Royals are promoting the importance of mental health awareness and mental health well-being. Prince Harry has been really vocal about the importance of that to really be able to support people who are suffering in silence a lot of the time because of the stigma related to mental health, people being embarrassed. They feel that it's a weakness, and it's so important to recognise that this is a human part of how we live, and it's a central part of who we are. And when we are dealing with difficulties, just as we are with our physical health, it's just as important to deal with that with our mental health. It's great that the Prince and other world and celebrities and world organisations are really promoting that to make it easier for people to be able to share their experience and they can get the help, as you said, Vivian.
Yes, definitely. And I also wanted to address something that sparked my attention a while ago. 5 years ago, I watched this. 5 years ago, I watched this movie, Inside Out, and it showed a way of the way we are looking at people, right? And it also sparked something within me, and it's by Emma. Emma shared something, a blog about, you know, our mental well-being, and it seems like we can only bring in joy, or we can only bring in maybe disgust and fear into the workplace. But when we're angry, well, anger, some people don't have any problems with expressing their anger, and some people do. But when it comes to sadness, or maybe sadness combined with anger, it seems like the workplace shouldn't be the place that where you can share your emotions, right? And this is one person. One person having five different personality types within that, I cannot switch that off. You cannot switch that off. So how can we expect people, your employees, your coworkers, maybe your friends or family to switch off that emotion, especially when something very sad has happened to them? Maybe they lost somebody, or maybe they're going to financial stress, or maybe something else is happening that is causing distraught. And that's why it is important to give the employees toolkits of raise awareness regarding mental health.
Yeah, and I think it really is about allowing people to express what is going on for them in a whole range of feelings and emotions in work.
Definitely, definitely.
It's really been about living up to what people feel is appropriate or acceptable within the workplace. And exactly as you said, certain emotions are okay and acceptable, and other emotions and sadnesses and difficulties and struggles that people are dealing with are, it's not a part of the workplace, it's something that you can be dealt with outside of the workplace.
Sure.
Their relationships, it affects their ability to do their work, and in the end, it affects how successful a business is. So it's so important, really, to bring that into the workplace, to support people, allow people to be their full selves at work, and to be able to share those different feelings and feel part of a community, because sharing feelings connects people.
And that brings me into my first question, because there is so much attention regarding mental health. We just shared something about World Health Organization. We just shared something about Ed Sheeran teaming up with Prince Harry. Why are we still in a mental crisis? What can we do to help people to become more resilient?
And that it is impacting their ability to perform at work, and that it is something that people really feel that they need support with now. And there are different things that can be done. One of the biggest things that I've found is something that we all have control over, but we often feel very difficult, is maintaining our limitations and boundaries, and recognizing that we all have limitations.
Mm-hmm.
We're not indestructible. That when we're faced with
Caroline, can I stop you from there? People are saying that they have troubles hearing you, so I hope that it's better.
I think it's probably to do with my microphone is that any better?
Yeah. I think, yes, that's better.
Okay, great.
Yes, that's better.
Facing away from my microphone.
Thank you, Andrea, for saying that the sound is soft. And thank you, Chester. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, Chester, again. Thank you, Anna, on the phone, Amsterdam. Wow, there are so many people already engaging. That's amazing, amazing. I think the sound is better. So please let us know if the sound isn't better or is better, as long as you share that. And those of you that are team live, I really appreciate you for watching this live. Sorry.
No, that's great. No, it's important that people are able to hear us. It goes back to people being able to know what their limitations are. That mm-hmm. we're thrown into lots of different aspects of what we're expected to do in life, and the demands and the difficulties, and we are not indestructible, that we do have limitations where our physical and mental health will be affected if we mm-hmm. don't recognize the signs and the symptoms.
True.
And so being able to look at what those signs and symptoms are, such as if you're suffering from headaches, dizziness, extreme exhaustion, heart palpitations, feeling low, loss of appetite, not wanting to socialize, you may have feelings of self-harm. These are all clear signs that you've reached your limit, that the situations in life that you're having to face and you're having to deal with are having such a strong impact on your mental well-being and your physical health that you need to start doing something about it. So knowing what your limitations are, recognizing the signs, and then making sure that you react in a really constructive way to make sure that you have the support that you need and reduce the stresses that are there in your life at that particular moment in time. One part of that is also about maintaining your boundaries. A lot of the time, people find it hard to say no. They're put in situations where there are so many expectations from family, from friends, from their colleagues, from the working environment, the deadlines, that they feel that, and people have been socialized to say, I have to be able to perform, because mm-hmm. people will see me as incapable or weak, or I'm not able to do my job very well, or I'm not a good mother, or I'm not a good partner. And then people put pressure on themselves through their expectations, as well as coming expectations from other people. And so it's so important to be able to set your boundaries and know that
there's certain amount of things that we are able to deal with in life, and there's certain things that if we take them on, it will be detrimental to who we are psychologically and physically, but also in our relationships. So it's so important to be able to maintain your boundaries as well, and not to feel guilty and to beat yourself up about that when you're saying, actually, no, this is at the moment too much for me. I'm not able to fulfill this particular expectation or need. And another thing that people can really do is to look at what self-care they're allowing themselves. So it's
Can we go to the next one? Because I have a bunch to ask you. Yeah. So can we go to the next question? So this is for you. Can you see the screen? So you asked me about are employees and employers aware about the importance of mental health and the role it plays in the workplace? I disagree with that. I don't think that they are aware enough, or they raise little awareness. And the companies that do raise awareness, they are doing a great job, but it's still not enough, because I'm hearing so many complaints about people getting sick, or they want the best talents. They are losing their best talents, and yet again, they are not providing the right tools or providing the right training to raise awareness. Because where are you supposed to learn about your mental health? Is that at home? Is that at school? Or is that at the workplace? I believe that people need to learn it from home, from school, as well as the workplace. But knowing that you're spending so much time at the workplace, I do feel that the workplace is the best place to address that and to raise more awareness regarding that. And it doesn't have to be a huge project. You can start by, setting up a calendar, and every month you have a team where you engage with each other and have these honest conversations. But please make sure that it is a safe environment for people to express their feelings and their thoughts.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that the workplace, people spend a majority of time there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an environment where it's important for them to be able to express their needs and have support. And psychological safety, as I said, Vivian, is mm-hmm. about people being able to talk about their mental health and well-being issues, and to feel that they're not going to be judged and they're not going to be penalized, but they're going to get the support that they need in order to be able to develop in a more positive way. So yes, I would agree with that.
Definitely. What is your experience? What is your personal experience with mental health?
When you ask me that question, Vivian, it takes me back to about 20 years ago, where I experienced difficult mental health issues, where I was suffering from a great deal of fear and anxiety. I was lost in my way of the direction I wanted to go in, and that was really difficult for me to understand what I was going through at the time. And I had a sense of being disconnected from the world. I didn't feel that I was a part of anything. I didn't feel I was a part of the world. And this made me very distanced and not happy about my life and the direction I was going in. And I really had to think about what was going on for me at that time, because I wasn't able to communicate well with the people who were closest to me. And I tended to push things away, and I didn't want to admit that I was someone who could have to deal with these kind of difficulties. So I think I went through a time of denial, where I was really suffering internally in a great deal of distress. And I felt that it was up to me to actually make a conscious choice to be able to turn that around. And so I was able to look at I was able to have support through therapy, but also to be able to look at what had reached, what had got me to that point. I recognised that there were certain things that I weren't, that I wasn't doing, that I wasn't admitting that things upset me or hurt me. I wasn't admitting that there were things in my life that I wasn't happy about. I was living a false self, and that false self actually then caught up with me. And it was in through reflecting and becoming more aware of that and looking at the kind of things that I was doing in my life to take me to that place, I learned that it's something that was a negative way of being, and I had to change that. So now I recognize a lot of the symptoms that when I'm not happy or I'm not living in an authentic life, and I'm able to change that. And so from that time, I've been really able to become a much more stronger, more focused and happier person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you asked me almost a similar thing, right? You asked me to share my own mental health experience. With me, the most recent one that I had was with when I became a mother. Mm-hmm. I had fantasized, you know, how my role was going to be and how my son was going to be, right? And there was nothing wrong with my son, but the only thing is, like you express yourself, I wasn't living up to my own potential, and I was doubting who I was. Also, those hormones can do a lot with a woman, especially going through that phase. And after I gave birth to my son, I was just like, whoa, this, something happened to me. I felt disconnected. I felt disconnected with myself, but also lack of sleep can do a lot with you. During that time, it was a combination with sleep. It was a combination with not being happy at where I was working at the time. Also dealing with postnatal depression and people not recognizing or not acknowledging what I was going through at the workplace. So for me, it was quite a challenging period. And that's why I also want to share that here, that postnatal depression is something that is really real and really serious. And I tell every new mom what happened to me, what I endured, and how I overcome that. And I overcame that by, first of all, leaving the workplace, the toxic workplace that I was in, and also revaluing myself. Because I, at the time that my son was 4 months old, I realized that I am his biggest role model. And he was looking at me at a certain way, and then it all of a sudden hit me that I need to take care of myself to be a better person, but also to be a better mother and to be the best version that I can be. And that's when I started with small steps. So addressing my nutrition, addressing my mental state, addressing the things that I'm reading, the things that I'm watching, also TV, especially now when you have so many digital distractions, that I realized that I needed my sleep back. I was just like, the first year, I was just like, okay, sleep, where are you? Where are you? So if you have great in-laws, or if you have a family friend or somebody in your family who can take care or can babysit the baby so that you can just take a quick nap. I value my in-laws. I value my parents. I value so many.
Sorry, you're cut off, or it's been paused, Vivian?
Yes. I'm hearing you. Yeah.
You're back.
So sleep deprivation is very serious. And I know a lot of people are joking about, well, I sleep when I'm dead. And to be honest, you're dying faster when you're not taking your sleep serious. So that's what I wanted to add in to this. Can you, I think you shared something about this before, about the signs that you were, you are paying attention to certain signals, but what are the three signs that people should not ignore?
Definitely, Vivian, that the signs that people should ignore is when they're feeling a great deal of anxiety and fear going period of time. And because this will eventually have a detrimental effect not only on your psychological well-being but on your physical health as well. And it could lead to some of the signs that I talked about before with the heart palpitations and the headaches and not being able to sleep. But also, of course, when people feel that they're having signs of self-harm or suicide and they feel as if they want to end their lives, then that is something that them to immediately share that with someone who thought that they need.
Yeah.
And the physical symptoms are really important not to ignore either. So if you're having stomach complaints or you're feeling nauseous or you're having chest pains.
Or the knots in your shoulders.
Shoulders.
Yeah, but also the shoulders.
Yeah. I think the shoulders, the chest, and also in your back, the upper back. These are all serious signs of high levels of stress that it's that someone needs to have a medical assessment and to get the treatment that they really need. And the earlier, the better. The more you recognize that. So people think, oh, it's okay, I'll leave it, it's not so bad. And then they continue to get to the point where it's so severe that it could be life-threatening or it takes them a lot longer to recover. And I think that people can be doctor shy or they feel that they have to maintain a high level of stress before they deserve to get support, particularly in men. Particularly men who feel that it's a weakness to show that they have any kind of mental health needs or concerns. And for women who are trying to balance so many different things as well, you know, the superwoman syndrome where they're feeling, you know, they're balancing work and looking after the children. And this is something that can be difficult, but it's important.
And also what I think that is important regarding this is to, you need to train that muscle. So if you're looking for a way that you want to manage your stress, you need to do activities or you need to do something for yourself which can where you can deal with your stress. So one of the things that I do on a monthly basis is treat myself with a massage. And that massage, people are thinking, well, she's getting the best massage as you can. That woman, the Thai woman, she is horrible. She is killing me. But the next day and the weeks after, I am the best me. I am the best me. So I fight pain with pain in a way. And for me, a stress reliever is kickboxing. Kickboxing is a favorite thing that I love to do. So I lost your sound. Oh, you're back. Yeah. You're back. Yeah. So our next question, you can answer that.
So what do you think are the main barriers for companies investing in mental health and well-being strategies?
I think they are delaying. It's not mandatory, at least in the Netherlands. You know, we have a rule that you need to take care of people, but then it's all the prevention part is not mandatory. The mandatory part is when the effect has happened, when somebody is sick or somebody is burned out or somebody is going through something, then you have to take care of them because it's costing them. They don't see the financial incentive or they don't see the value of the investment by in prevention. That's my take on that. And I believe that if you don't take care of your people, especially now where we're living in a world that people tend to burn out quicker, much quicker than before, tend to be stressed much quicker than before, why not invest a percentage of the pay that you're paying now in regarding to their absence leave, right? So a percentage and invest on the small things. You'll see the return on investment. You'll see that you can retain your talent. You'll see that it will attract your talent. And you'll see that your people are talking positively about you instead of hurtful. Because know that a person who is working in a workplace where they feel that they are not being taken serious, not being addressed, or their situation is not being handled seriously, they are going to talk. They are maybe going to talk to your future customers. They are going to talk with their family. They are going to talk with their friends. And guess what? Now, within this social media age, that's a review. Even though you don't see that review maybe on Google Reviews or maybe on Indeed, it's a review and it's a warning for them to not shop at your company, not work with your company, not work with that particular person in your company. Are you hearing your company?
Yeah, definitely. There's so many benefits of investing in employee psychological health and well-being, all of the benefits that you mentioned.
Definitely. Okay, the next questions. What are the mental health myths? Because there are so many. But can you share your top three?
Yeah. Obviously, one of the main myths about mental health is that it is a weakness. Mm. It shows that you are psychologically weak and that you're not able to cope with the demands or difficulties in life. And of course, it's not a weakness. It is a natural part of who we are. And I think that we have to get rid of that myth, because there's so much stigma attached to that. Another myth about mental health it can make you more aggressive, and that you can become for certain mental illnesses make you unreliable and less productive as other people. And that so isn't true. In fact, but when you're suffering from a mental health difficulty, you're able to perform as well as someone else, as long as you have the kind of support and input so that you actually need. And so when people say, well, we need to be careful, we can't give that person so much work because they're not going to be able to cope with it, or they're not able to do their job as well as someone else who doesn't have a mental health illness, it's actually the beliefs and stigma that hold people back that stop them from being able to perform, rather than the reality of the situation.
But that's because people don't know what it is, right? And they keep making things up. And also, you know, it's not being positively shared in the media. Mm-hmm. I think that the media also has a accountability part in this. Mm-hmm. That they need to, when they address mental well-being, that they need to be careful about this topic.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that there are the biases and the stereotypes when you deal with mental health issues, that it's shown at the extreme end. And it's not shown in at the reality that it actually affects all of us. One of the myths is it only affects some people but not others. Poor mental health and mental illness affects everyone. And no one is immune to it, and we all need to be aware of it and to be able to take care of it and to invest in that. And when the media, as you said, Vivian, shows just the negative side of it and the extreme sides of it, it actually prevents people from being able to be open and share what is actually going on for them. And then, of course, prevents them from getting the support that they might really need and be able to help forward.
True. Last question. This is yours.
So what do you think are the three major benefits of companies creating a more psychologically safe work culture, which is what we touched on a little bit earlier?
Yeah, so the benefits, again, for me, is it shows that you care as a company, which has a positive outcome, not only towards your people, but also your clients. I mean, imagine that you're not taking care of your people and they are in that certain state and they are addressing your clients. Imagine that, whether they are sad, happy, angry, or whatever negative mental state that they're in, or not negative, but whatever poor mental state they are in, they are helping your clients. And realize that your clients is taking that not so positive experience towards other clients and sharing that. In the on the long run, it will hurt so many companies. I mean, I've seen the big names. I'm not going, this is not a naming and shaming broadcast, but I've seen the biggest and the best tech companies not addressing that enough. And it should be mandatory. And it shouldn't be coming from the government, but it should be mandatory in each company to at least address mental health awareness training or mental training at least twice a year. So instead of that, I mean, we all have that vitality days, or at least the company that I do visit, they have their one day in a year vitality day. And I will address that in another broadcast. But that one day in a year, Vitality Day, doesn't pay any attention to their mental well-being. Why not help your employees by showing them how to take better care of themselves, giving them toolkits to do that?
Yeah, definitely. I would totally agree with that. I think the focus is really important. I would go further, Vivian, and say that mental health and well-being should be a integral part of the whole strategy.
Definitely. I mean, what I see lately is that there are companies who are window dressing it. So when it's irrelevant for this topic, but when it is Pride Day, they are pro Pride. They show all the colors of the rainbow. And when it's Mental Health Day, they pay their attention only on that day. And Mental Health Day is a 365 thing. It's not something that you can switch on only on that particular day, and the rest of the year you don't pay any attention. You need to raise more awareness so that people can help each other, people can support each other, and people can come in contact with the company trustee. Or the trust person who can help them go further, who can help them get in contact with somebody, with a professional or somebody that can help them, you know, cope with this or at least help them. That's I'm doing this broadcast. We want humanizing in the workplace, and there's the most human thing that you can do is be there for each other and support each other. Not raising any biases, but help people when they are in need.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to say thank you, Caroline, for this awesome first broadcast. And you're the first guest. It was amazing having you as a guest. And I'm looking forward to those of you who are watching the team replay. Please let us know if you have any questions or any comments regarding this broadcast, because this is going to remain here, and I'm going to reshare it as well. Our next guest, I have to share something about the next guest.
Vivian, would I just like to, add that if people, this has brought up any issues for people, mm-hmm. and they felt that they weren't able to share it openly today with us.
Yes, definitely.
Reach out to me personally mm-hmm. via LinkedIn or through your ways of contact, and I'd be happy mm-hmm. to get back.
Yes. Definitely. So I can imagine that this topic is a bit too heavy. And as LinkedIn, it's a workplace platform or is a business platform. So please reach out. There are so many ways that you can reach out to us and let us know if you need any more help or you need any more guidance or you need some tips, just reach out. So I want to address the next guest for next week. That will be Sasha Fogel, and she will be talking about how to spice up your career. So for those of you, it's December, right? Most of you, or at least I do, I reflect. Every year I spend some time to reflect in December. How amazing is it that you can spend that time now, think about how can you spice up the career? And spice up the career isn't a way of me saying that you should quit your job and go to another one. You can spice up your current career. How can you level up within your career? What can you do to level up within your career? So that's more or less it. So if you want to reach out, then again, I'm going to share Caroline's link, but so that you can connect with her. And if you want to reach out with Caroline or with me, just let me know and follow me on LinkedIn or on Twitter. Know that those of you who are following me on Twitter will be able to add in their comments and I can engage more because I have with LinkedIn, unfortunately, I cannot add the comments in the section. So I have to watch on my screen from time to time. But know that I will definitely go back and forth after this session to at least address any questions or comments or stories that you want to share. So share the love, give us a high five or something else, but please share the love because this broadcast is something that is needed and we really need to humanize the workplace. So thank you for watching and hopefully till Monday. Bye.